Morning, church family. It is good to be here this morning. I appreciate Ray sharing his heart with us this morning, preparing our minds to commune together and with the Lord. And I hear there was quite an event here yesterday. Our shepherds hosted a prayer event, and I hope that you were able to be here. And if you weren't able to be here, I hope that you found yourself throughout the day praying for what our shepherds asked us to be praying for, about our church family and its leadership and several things that are going on to improve our church life. And so I pray that that you found yourself praying if you were not able to come. We were unable to be here. Seems like there's so many things in life that happen all at once, and I know of many of you that are hurting, struggling, trying to figure out what the next step is. Tara and her family lost a special lady this week as well. Her great aunt, which was more like a second grandmother, passed away on Monday. And the family asked me to do the funeral. That's the first time I've done something like that for her family. And so that was a special time for me, an honor. And so I just feel, I don't know what it is this morning, but I just, before we get into the message, I just want us to pray together, and I want us to be mindful. If it's not you and your family, I'm sure you know of someone in this room who is overwhelmed with something, and I just want you to lift them up right now in prayer. So let's stand together, if you would. Let's stand in the presence of our God. And let's bow before him in prayer. Father, this morning we stand before you because you are an almighty God. We are so grateful for your love and your mercy that rains down upon us every moment of every day. Father, we just come before you as your children with palms up, recognizing the fact and declaring the fact that you are God, and that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, death has been defeated. Every sin, every heartache, every sorrow, you are there with us, walking with us. And we know that your promise is that one day soon, your kingdom will come in its completion through the coming of your Son Jesus, and every tear will be wiped away. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow. You are making everything new. And so we trust you. And we praise you with all that we are and with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning we're going to bring to completion this series on prayer that we've been going through together. I've really enjoyed it. I pray that you have as well. I pray that your prayer life has increased, has become more of a healthy pattern or habit for you. I want to start this morning's message by saying this. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are oftentimes a distracted people. We tend to overextend ourselves. Our schedules become cram-packed with good things, but lots and lots of things, activities, errands, appointments. I even had a conversation with my brother-in-law yesterday, and he's like, I even have to schedule my lunch break. I'm like, what? What does that mean? He's like, yeah, I have an alarm on my phone, and my phone, because if I don't, I'll forget. I mean, we are overextending ourselves. We have a scattered mind and a noisy heart. And so it's no wonder to me that we feel strained, that we feel hurried, that we feel breathless and stressed. And I'm speaking for me here too, but seldom we can focus on a single thing because of our busyness and our multitasking. And sometimes I'll get a phone call and I'm like, hello? And they say my name and tell me whether, can you hang on just a second? Let me finish this email. Let me turn my iPad off and my music down just a little bit. How many things can I have going all at once? And I don't know if you can relate to that or not, but it's hard for us to focus in on any single thing. And so today, as we close this series, I want us to consider what it means to be a person that practices unceasing prayer. Because Scripture talks a lot about this idea of unceasing or the constant practice of prayer. And with our busy culture the way that it is, perhaps that sounds impossible to you. You're not even sure where to begin. Maybe it doesn't even seem desirable to you. I don't know. Maybe you're asking things like, why should I add another religious duty, if you will, onto an already hectic schedule? And if you identify with any of those thoughts, I want to give us an encouraging word today. I do not believe that God expects us to dive headlong into the ocean of constant communion with Him all at once today. What I do believe He expects is for us just to come. To come. And to bring our hearts before we bring our needs. See, often we forget to bring our contrite and broken hearts, as King David talks about, before we bring our requests and our needs, and sometimes even our wants. Here's what I believe unceasing prayer is. I believe unceasing prayer is a heartfelt conversation with God that takes time to grow into a thriving, practiced lifestyle. And we'll unpack that this morning. Think about it this way. If you truly desire an authentic, intimate relationship with God, how can we move toward that unless we choose to integrate our mind and heart and soul in His presence? Here's the deal. As we develop a regular connection with God the Father, praying becomes the easy thing to do, the natural thing to do, the spontaneous thing to do. And once we begin cultivating prayer in our lives, the hard thing will be not to pray in any given situation. Have you ever found yourself thinking, should I pray? Should I ask this person if they want to pray? Or even for me, sometimes, even with Tara, should this be a time that we pray together? And what I find is that the more that I give myself over to the presence of God, the more that I integrate my mind and my heart and my spirit with His, it's no longer a question, should I pray? The question becomes, why not? Why not pray right now? And so hopefully that's something that can change in all of our lives. I want you to hear what Isaac the Syrian wrote in the 7th century about this idea of unceasing prayer. Here's his thoughts. He said, when the Spirit has come to reside in someone, that person cannot stop praying. For the Holy Spirit of God prays without ceasing in them. No matter if he or she is asleep or awake, prayer is going on in their heart all the time. They may be eating or drinking. They may be resting or working. The incense of prayer will ascend spontaneously from their heart. The slightest stirring in their heart is like a voice that sings in silence and in secret to the Almighty. The Apostle Paul was also passionate and adamant about this idea of ongoing, constant, unceasing prayer in the Christian's life. Here's just a small sampling of some of the things that he wrote. He wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You know the verse, pray without ceasing. And if you're anything like me, you're left wondering, asking, what does that mean? What does that look like? How can I practice that? He wrote to the church in Rome, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. To the Ephesians, he wrote, pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and in every supplication. To the Colossians, he wrote, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And finally, to the Philippians, he wrote, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know, I'm pretty confident that the Apostle Paul would agree with me here when I say this kind of ongoing, constant practice of prayer, it doesn't come automatically. It just doesn't. We must want it. We must be passionate about this kind of prayer. It just doesn't happen overnight or by osmosis. It takes practice. It takes a pursuit. It takes passion to go after this kind of prayer lifestyle. And if you and I are okay with our prayer life being dull or stagnant, then the rest of this message really isn't going to be very helpful to you. But I'm going to bet that you're not okay with a little prayer sprinkled in here and a little prayer sprinkled in there, that you have a desire to be in an intimate relationship with the Father. Because as Jesus people, we want to excel in our relationship with Him. We want to be in His presence. We've felt His transformative hand in our lives and the way that He's changed us and molded us. And maybe it's just been in moments, but we want to experience that every moment of every day. Richard Foster, in his book on prayer, concludes for us that as Christians over the centuries have done their best to try to understand and practice this idea of unceasing prayer, that generally speaking, an overarching culmination of the ways in which people have tried to practice this, it comes down to two expressions. Two expressions. The first one is a little more formal, and it finds its roots in the Psalms. For example, in Psalm 139:1, King David proclaims in one breath, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Or again in Psalm 103, verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul, praise His holy name. And so the main idea in this expression here is that it's repeatable. It's a petition to God. It means something to you. It's personal. And it can be said in one breath. That's why many people refer to this as a breath prayer. It is a prayer that originates in your heart, and it's tied to how one comfortably refers to God or addresses God, whether that be Lord or Father or Abba or whatever. However you talk to the Lord in a comfortable way, this breath prayer incorporates that idea. And to help us understand what this looks like in our everyday life and how it can have a powerful effect in our lives and in the world around us, I talked to several people of our church family and just kind of interviewed them on the side and said, you know, what does this look like in your life? And one of those conversations stood out to me, and so I asked Sarah Nelson to share with us how this idea of a breath prayer or a personal prayer has impacted her prayer life. And she couldn't be here today. Her and her family are at a wedding out of town this weekend, but she wrote these words. I want you to listen to what she said. Before I had an intimate relationship with the Father, she said, I viewed prayer as a chore, or as an obligation, something to check off the list of religious duties. Or if I had not prayed for several days, I felt like I had to make it up to God. And even then, prayers usually consisted of thanking God for this day or for our food or the other list of things that I needed. But when my eyes were open to a true relationship with Him, my definition of prayer began to change. I realized He didn't want just a list of things that I thought I needed, but an ongoing, real-time relationship. My definition of constant prayer would be aligning my spirit with His. Asking the Holy Spirit to take my thoughts captive and to direct them toward the Father and His will. And then I want you to listen to what she wrote here. She says, "One specific way I have learned to do this is to simply say the name Jesus. When I try to control my day or my path, I get off track. But just pausing to say His name brings my thoughts back to Him." And I talked to her about this in person, and I said, "So what does that look like?" And she said, "Well, like if I'm in the grocery store and I'm frustrated about something that's happened earlier in the day," she said, "as I'm walking up and down the aisle, I'll just be saying, 'Jesus, I need you to help me, Jesus.'" And she said, I've often looked up and people are looking at me like, "What's wrong with her? You know, looks like I'm talking to myself." But it really helps her to come back to center, to be focused on Jesus and what He would want her to do to accomplish God's will in that moment. She says, "When my thoughts are tuned to Him, I am more likely to hear or to see what He is communicating to me." And then she says another breath prayer that I often say is, "I trust You." If I'm feeling overwhelmed by a situation or things that are out of control, I can say, "I trust You." And I am reminded that I can rest in His peace. I have found that these simple prayers might not appear to change what is going on around me, but they change me and they change my perspective. And then she wrote this, "Unceasing prayer is about living life with Him instead of reporting life to Him." I like that. The second expression of unceasing prayer that is common over the years and even today is the idea of practicing the presence of God. This really found its roots in the 17th century France, when France was having all kinds of power struggles and unrest, but there were several spiritual leaders during that time that guided the church in a better way, and one of those leaders was Brother Lawrence. Maybe you've heard his name and read some of his writings. He was a lay monk whose quiet presence reflected divine peace in the church and to his neighbors around him. Simply put, this idea of practicing the presence of God is going through all of our activities throughout the day with the awareness of God's presence through whispered prayers of praise and adoration and intercessions flowing from our hearts to the Father. Brother Lawrence would urge us to remember this. He wrote, "Make a private chapel of your heart where you can retire from time to time to commune with God peacefully, humbly, and lovingly." And then later in his writings, he would say this, "The time of business does not differ for me from the time of prayer." He was a cook, and so he wrote, "In the noise and the clatter of my kitchen, while several people at the same time are calling out to me for different things, I still possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees at the Blessed Sacrament." So what he's trying to tell us is he has this awareness of the presence of God in all his affairs. His mind, his heart, his spirit is in line with the Spirit of God every moment of every day. And so the presence of God includes making inward prayer the last thing we do in the evening and the first thing that we do when we wake up, but it also embraces the realization that the Holy Spirit of God is continually speaking to the Father on our behalf throughout the day, and we must be faithful We must be faithful to respond to his will when he moves, when he calls. Well, that's all good and well. But maybe you're still asking, can I really do this? Can I really live this way? Is this kind of prayer life attainable for you and I? Some of you are saying, no way. It's not possible. Can't do that. But wait just a moment. Maybe it is. Maybe it simply takes time. Maybe it simply takes practice and some patience. To be sure, this kind of intimate communion with the Father doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen automatically. And should we be surprised by that? I would remind us that anything worth anything takes consistent effort. Anything worth anything takes consistent effort. I mean, you think about the things that you're good at, that you've been able to excel in. You just wake up one morning and you are awesome at that? No, it took some consistent effort on your part and practice. Brother Lawrence admits that it took him years before he fully entered into this kind of relationship with God. So I just want to spend our last few minutes together by walking us through what it might look like for us to take some steps into this kind of unceasing prayer lifestyle. So how can we begin to take those strides? There's no magic, really. There's no silver bullet answer to that question, but Foster gives us some insight again into this. First, prayer is an outward discipline. We must start there. And that may be the most difficult part for us, is to realize I have to put some effort forth here. The practice of unceasing prayer begins with simply praying. The talented pianist, for example, who today effortlessly just runs her hands up and down the keys, once had to agonize over the simplest of notes. And the runner who runs a marathon with no problem at all, when he began, it was very difficult to run a mile. And so again, anything worth anything takes consistent effort. And so we begin in the most simplest of creative ways. Just for example, I heard this idea the other day and I thought, I've never even thought of that. Use your favorite color as a prompt. What's your favorite color? Well, as you're going about your business of your day, when you see it, pray. Realign your mind, realign your heart and your spirit to God's, and say a simple prayer. God, I trust you. You are good. I need your help today. They need your help today. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being with them. So the next step in this constant state of prayer idea is what I call the subconscious mind. In other words, you say a prayer and you're unaware that you even said it. Now, I know that's a bit far-fetched for some of you, but let me explain just for a minute maybe what that might look like, because I think we get stuck sometimes on thinking that prayer is only when we sit and close our eyes and fold our hands and say, Holy Father, and we end it with Jesus' name, amen. And we get stuck there that is prayer. And I believe Scripture teaches us more than that. And so think about it this way. Maybe breathed longings and adorations for the wonder of God's creation when we see it is just as much a prayer as actually speaking words. I mean, think about it. Have you ever been in the full view of the Rockies and just, friends, I think that is prayer to the creator of the universe. Are there any words to adequately say thank you for that? Or you stand at the ocean side and you just take it in. Or you're at the bedside of your spouse and your first child has just been born and you can't help but wipe the smile off of your face and you're holding this new baby in your hands and you're just like, You're saying something there, aren't you? And so may we expand our idea of what prayer is and how we practice it in our lives. There's this idea of the subconscious mind where the Holy Spirit of God resides in us and he speaks words from our heart to the heart of the Father that we can't put together into words. And so as you think of a person's condition, whether good or bad, and they enter your mind and it starts to consume your mind, we begin to converse with the Father, maybe even in words that we're not understanding, and we begin to imagine the outcome that we desire, and we plead with the Father that that would come to fruition. You know, here's the beauty of praying and it entering into our subconscious mind as our behaviors begin to change. As we give ourselves over more to the presence of God, our behaviors begin to change. You begin to realize that you don't get quite as frustrated in that traffic jam. You don't lose your temper quite as quickly as you would have a year ago. You don't get frustrated with those petty frustrations that come your way. Instead, you realize there's a little bit more grace, there's a little bit more mercy extended from you to them, and we begin to see others through the eyes of Jesus. And that really takes us into the last part of this practice lifestyle of unceasing prayer, and I call it the sensing heart. And this is my favorite part for the disciple. And I'm not always at this level of unceasing prayer, but I long to be there in a constant state, because when I'm there, I feel the Spirit of God moving, not only in my life, but in the world around me. Imagine you walk into a room at your workplace or the cafeteria at school or that hospital room where people are hurting, and you enter the room and you're not uncomfortable. Again, the hard thing to do when you enter the room is not to pray, because your heart begins to sense this person is hurting, this person is confused, this person is actually kind of joyful. And you begin to realize and to sense the needs of other people, and your heart is moved to want to help, to want to minister, to want to extend hope and peace and joy and love into that person's life. And you become an instrument of God. And your hands become healing. And your words become soothing. And your actions are peaceable. I don't have to share a story or explain a specific room. You've walked into one of those rooms. And you know. I'm going to try to tell this without losing it. Ray and I apologize now for making this kind of a heavy morning or whatever. We've gone through a lot, and we've actually been praying for each other quite a bit. 2 weeks ago, when Tara's great aunt was dying, my kids and Tara and I were able to go visit her, and her sister, Tara's grandmother, asked me if I'd do the funeral, and I said, well, I'd be glad to, and can I have just a few minutes with Dean to talk to her about that? And she said, yes, please. And so I went in, and she was awake enough and feeling strong enough to talk a bit, and we talked, and we laughed, and we cried, and I prayed over her, and she opened her eyes, and she just looked at me like, everything's okay. And I said, Dean, how's your spirit? How's your spirit? And she smiled and she said, I'm at peace. That was one of those moments where I didn't have any words, but the Lord was speaking on my behalf. And I just kind of took that in. And the words that came out were, what's your secret? What's your secret? And she grabbed my hand. I'll never, ever forget what she told me. She grabbed my hand and she looked at me intently as she could, and she said, It's not a secret. The Lord is my shepherd, and he is my peace. That's a good prayer. Maybe you could steal that one. I don't think she would mind. The Lord is my shepherd. You are my peace. Thank you. These daily, heartfelt conversations can be had by all. And God waits for us in the sanctuary of his heart. Prayer is the key, and Jesus is the door into that divine refuge of the Father's heart. And when we come, and when we enter the door, oh, he welcomes. He welcomes us there. Every moment of every day, he welcomes us there. May God bless us as we strive to be people of unceasing prayer. This morning, if you need further encouragement or prayers, the shepherds would love to assist you this morning. And we always want to extend the invitation of Jesus to people that are here. You may be ready to give your life to the Lord for the first time, and we would love to minister to you and to witness your confession that Jesus is Lord, your baptism into his saving name for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We would love to witness that this morning. If you need to respond in any way, please do that now. I'll be right down here. We'll have shepherds in the aisles. You can do that as we sing this song. Let's stand and sing together.